The Veterans Affairs Department is telling Congress how it's going to meet veterans' health care needs. The plan, which is due on Sunday, stems from the patient care crisis that rocked the VA last year. At the heart of it is the admission that VA can't do this all by itself, as its new Undersecretary for Health, David Chulkin, tells Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp.
There are too many needs of our veterans and not enough resources for VA to do this completely by itself. So the plan succinctly says that VA needs to focus and concentrate on those things that VA does, unlike the private sector, things that you just couldn't find in the private sector that relate directly to, you know, military-related conditions, that relate to the psychological and mental health needs of our veterans, that relate to the provision of models of primary care that we're doing much differently than the private sector. But that for services that, quite frankly, the private sector can do just as well as we can, if not better, that we don't need to do that. We need to work with the private sector. So this is a plan that actually works closer with the private sector and those in the private sector that are performing at high levels, because we don't think veterans should be getting average care. We think they should be getting the best care. So this is actually working with the best in healthcare to provide seamless services for veterans, no matter where they get it, either in the private sector or VA. That will also allow us to focus what resources we have on making VA facilities and programs state-of-the-art consistently throughout the country.
How big of a shift would it be?
I consider this a fundamental shift. This is, VA has gone through some major strategic changes every 20, 25 years, as many industries do. This is one of them. This is a fundamental shift in the way that we think healthcare will be delivered for the next 20 years to veterans in this country.
You were not here in the early part of last year when this whole crisis broke, but you are the person that is supposed to clean it up. Do you think that part of the reason why that happened, the patient wait crisis and the subsequent crisis, was because VA was stretched too thin, was trying to be too many things to too many people?
Well, I do think that there was a fundamental disconnect between what VA was being asked to do, the demand, and the resources that we were provided. VA could clearly provide care to every veteran in the country for every service if we were given a budget that met those needs. But look, the country can't fund every single requirement that it has. That's why we have a federal deficit. So our job is to make choices and to be able to provide veterans the services that they need most and the ones that, frankly, we have an obligation to them to provide, and then to be able to work with the private healthcare resources to be able to meet those other needs. And that's exactly the type of system that we're going to design for veterans.
Now, VA in certain places is working with the private, is working with the private sector, and they're doing some of these things. So how are you going to implement this plan? What things are you going to highlight? What things are you going to cut back on?
Right. You're absolutely correct. VA has worked with the private sector and continues to work very strongly, not only with the private sector, but also other federal partners, the Department of Defense, the Indian Health Service, the tribal organizations, federally qualified health centers. So VA has always looked at partnerships as key to serving the needs of veterans. But we've really been stepping that up. So last year, in response to this access crisis, we saw 7 million more veteran appointments than we did the year before. 4.5 million of those seven were in the private sector. 2.5 million were within VA. So we have. But the difference here is that rather than just sending patients out to the private sector, we want it to be in an organized system of care to actually send veterans to those in the private sector that do it best, that are going to give veterans the very highest quality care and the highest service. So in order to make that transition from just go and find care anywhere to find it among the best, we need to have a very formal system of what we call care coordination, to have responsibility to make sure that we know where veterans are getting care and that they're not getting gaps in care or that they're not having missed appointments and things. So this is really building an infrastructure of the ability to allow patients to get veterans to get care seamlessly between the private sector and VA.
Is VA doing anything like this right now?
We are doing it in segments of veterans that have many, many chronic care issues. So yes, we are doing care management for small numbers of veterans or for veterans that really need it, and we are tracking their care that way. So what we're really doing is talking about expanding those programs and really accelerating the learnings that we've had in those programs to make it available to millions of veterans.
This plan depends a lot on the private sector. What makes you think that the private sector wants to work with VA?
One of the things that I have found by reaching out to people in the private sector, whether it's medical center leadership, academic medical centers, private corporations, industry, is I have almost found uniformly that people want to help. People feel very committed to our veterans. They understand how important this is. They know that we've been struggling. They want to be part of the solution. I feel very, very good about that. I've not had anybody slam the door on me. They all want to help. If anything, they say, you're hard to work with. You know, offering help to the federal government's not easy. And so it's one of the things that, again, the secretary and I and others here at VA are committed to changing that. We understand we need to be, we need strategic partners, and we need others to help us, and we need to make us be easier to work with.
What about the resources that you think VA will need to sustain this? If you remember this past fiscal year, VA was running out of money because of the healthcare needs of veterans that it hadn't anticipated.
Yes, it's one of the things that we're just working on now before we submit our plan to Congress, and that's we're working with the Office of Management and Budget to make sure that we have this correct. And part of what they've asked us to do is to identify the resources that we know that we're going to need to be able to do this successfully. We understand that in order to deliver health care now, whether you're in the federal government or outside the federal government, it's not an open checkbook, and you have to be very careful about using resources because healthcare is getting more expensive. The drugs, the technologies are very, very costly. So with that in mind, we're trying to present a plan that uses resources most efficiently, but you cannot disconnect the demand from the resources. And right now we know, even with those 7 million more appointments, our wait times haven't necessarily gone down because there's such huge demand for services in VA right now. And if we want to meet all those needs, there's going to be a cost associated with that.
Talk a little bit about the other types of resources, the personnel you need. You've hired an enormous amount of people over the last year, but you still have really high vacancy rates when you look at the regional and medical director leadership.
Yeah. Probably the single biggest concern I have right now is getting people to come in who want to help be leaders in VA. We've had two areas that we've really been concerned with. One was getting enough doctors on board, and we still are actively recruiting for psychiatrists and primary care doctors and specialists, but we've done a decent job of recruiting those doctors. Where we've really struggled is in getting people who want to come and lead our medical centers and our regional networks. And it's one of the things that I think that I need to make sure that I do a better job of getting the word out there that this is a great environment in which to come and to make a difference, to serve your country, to help people who have served our country. And it's one of the things that I'm surprised at, that I don't have more people knocking at my door saying that they want to come and be a leader here.